firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more?
Don't waste your life. That's an underlying lesson from today's study on Through the Bible. If God gives you amazing opportunities, don't waste them. We learn this lesson from Samson, one of the more memorable people that we meet in the book of Judges. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, begins our study today in Judges chapter 14 through 16 with this special introduction. Let's listen now as he tells us about Samson.
I trust that I've disillusioned you in believing that Samson is a great big hulk of muscle, but rather that he's more like a shrimp than a big hulk of muscle. He is not really the man that we would like for him to be. Certainly, he's not the man maybe that we want to be. A man that had such a glorious opportunity, and he muffed it. He absolutely wasted it. His life was wasted in many, many ways. We get a wrong notion sometime about the saints of the Bible, that all of them, you know, the moment you mention their name, you feel like you want to fall down and worship each one of them. That's so great, but that's not true of many of them. Fact of the matter is, they have feet of clay.
Well, from that humble posture, because we all have feet of clay, let's commit this time in God's word to prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that the only one worthy of glory is your Son, Jesus Christ. Make his name known throughout the earth through the teaching of your word. In his glorious and precious name, amen.
Now, friends, as we come here to this man, Samson, I hope that we dispel the notion that he was a great, big, robust, virile picture of health. No, he was not. He was anemic looking. He looked like he had one foot in the grave and the other in the banana peeling. And his picture is not after taking the tonic or the vitamins with the big bulging muscles, but it's before taking the little dried up weasel. That is Samson. But the thing that made it amazing was the fact that this man, the Spirit of God would come upon him, and it was obvious that it was God moving through him. Now, I feel like he's assisting about every department that you can look at him. And we'll notice today, beginning of chapter 14, how this begins to come out in his life. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her from me to wife. Now, I submit to you that that's a sissy that would do that. Why didn't he go and talk to the woman and tell her that he loved her and wanted to marry her? And why didn't he go and talk to the father that in that day it had to be some sort of a business arrangement? Why didn't he take care of that? He's a sissy, friends. Mom and Papa's going to have to go down and do this for him. This is Samson. Verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, he's going to use this as a ruse, you see, in order that he might deliver Israel. And he starts off well. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. Now, they were told a Nazarite was to keep away from the grapes, but not him. And he came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, treated him like he would a little lamb. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Mom and Papa had to go along in order for him to talk to the woman. Now, we find that verse 8 now of chapter 14 of Judges, after a time he returned to take her. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, it was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. He gave them and they did eat. He told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, we find that his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young man to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Samson put a riddle to him. He's a great riddle maker, too. My, what a boy he is. And he gives them a riddle. And he says, I'll give you 7 days of the feast to find out the answer. And I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. And the riddle was, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. They could not in 3 days expound a riddle. So what'd they do? Well, it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. And so Samson's wife, verse 16 now, Samson's wife wept before him. She turned on the strongest weapon that woman has, tears. Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle on the children of my people and hast not told it me. He said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father, my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. Well, I want to tell you, when you got a woman that's weeping for 7 straight days, for every meal, it does get a little tiresome. And finally, he just had to give in, and he told her what the riddle was. And immediately, of course, the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, they had the answer. They said, what is sweeter than honey, and what's stronger than a lion? He said unto them, he knew where they got the answer. He said, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. He's good at making wisecracks, too, by the way. That's a good one. If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. In other words, you got that from my wife. Now, we find, verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon. Now, Ashkelon is way down, friends, in the south. And he slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. In other words, Samson left in a pout. His wife had given away the secret, and he'd gone down and killed 30 men to get the change of raiment in order to pay off his wager. And of all things, why, he doesn't take her with him, because he's angry with her, and he's pouting. And so it came to pass, within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I'll go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. Her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Well, Samson didn't like this, of course. Notice what he does. Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went, caught 300 foxes, took firebrands, turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. What he really did was he tied 2 foxes together by the tail and then put on the end of that a firebrand. These 2 foxes would really take out, and they would scatter that firebrand everywhere. And what happened? When he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? They answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to her companion. The Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I'll cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And notice why he did it. This is personal. This hasn't anything to do with him being the judge of Israel. delivering them. He's just avenging himself. And notice in verse 11, at the end of the verse, what he says, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. That is his philosophy. He just avenged himself personally. And we're told now he's really got the Philistines riled up. And they're looking for him. In verse 14, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. He let his own brethren bind him, by the way, to protect his own people. And then he just broke that as if it were nothing. We're told in verse 15 he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it, and he slew 1,000 men therewith. Now again, you see the strength of this man. It's not his own strength. He could never have done it in his own power, of course. But again, he's beginning to deliver Israel. And if he'd only kept that before him, but he's not keeping it before him. Now notice what happened. Chapter 16 now of Judges, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and he saw there an harlot, and he went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. Other words, they locked up the city and they said, we'll get him in the morning. Samson lay till midnight, rose at midnight, and when he came and found the gates of the city locked, what did he do? He took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that's before Hebron. He sounds like a college student, doesn't he? It sounds like a prank of a teenager that he's doing. My, this boy Samson never did grow up. And all the time, he's called to deliver Israel with this mighty power, and he's just using it for his own personal use. Notice now what happens. Verse 4. Now we come to the story of Samson and Delilah. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. That's the story of Samson. That, my friend, is the downfall of Samson. That's the big failure in his life. That's the weak point in his life. He loved a woman. No man falls suddenly into sin. He does it gradually. It was discovered in the little town I was pastor of in Texas that there was a president, I guess he was, of the bank. And it was a small bank. But, oh, he was outstanding. That man actually went with me to the jail to give out tracts and talk to the prisoners there. And one day, he disappeared. And I think he'd gone on vacation. All of a sudden, they began to miss money. It was gone. They couldn't believe that he did it. They tried to count for it every other way, but they couldn't. And finally, they decided he was the one, and they began to look for him because he didn't come back from vacation. That man finally committed suicide. And they found out it had been happening for years. No man falls all of a sudden in sin. And one of the greatest sins that destroys so many men today is he loved a woman. It's this matter of sex. It's one of the things that's killing off a great many. And that was Samson's sin. It was that of sex. He loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. See where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And you may be sure of one thing, she was more interested in the 1,100 pieces of silver than she was interested in Samson. And so she begins now, I take it that Delilah was a woman that he never even tempted to marry at all. He began to kid with her in this case. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein my great strength lieth, wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that are never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. He kids her at first, you see. And he begins to give her answers, but they're wrong answers. And so when he went to sleep, why, she let them know, and they came up and bound him. And then she waked him up. She said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And boy, he broke that just as if it was thread, and his strength was not known. Now, verse 10 of chapter 16, "And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." You see, again, he's playing with, he's kidding her along. And notice, they try this out. And so what happened was, they bound him when he was asleep, and she gave the cry again, and he break them off his arms just like they were thread, these new ropes. Now Delilah, she's really exasperated, frustrated with her boyfriend. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web." And now he's beginning to weaken. May I say to you, friends, this is the beginning of the end of the man. He begins now to weaken. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." He waked out of his sleep, went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. He picked the whole thing up. Well, he's weakening because he's mentioning now his hair, you see. And she said unto him, verse 15 of chapter 16, "How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I'll become weak and be like other men." Now, actually, the strength is not in the hair, friends. That's the badge of a Nazarite vow. And the strength was when the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, Delilah saw that he's really a fool, and he was a fool to tell her. Verse 18, "When Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." This man's weak now. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And here's the tragic verse in the life of Samson. "And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself." Listen, "and he wist not," he knew not, "that the Lord was departed from him." Friends, the strength was not in the hair. The strength was in the Spirit of the Lord God that was upon him. Strength today, there's no spiritual strength in ceremonies and rituals today. Friends, the strength of a believer is always in the Spirit of God, always. And this man now, called a judge, called to deliver his people, a carnal judge. And now Ichabod, the glory is departed, is written over his life. He didn't know that the Spirit of God had now left him. You see, he never raised an army. He never won a battle. He never rallied the people. And what happened to him? Well, his strength is now gone. Sex is what ruined this man. Now we are told, "And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass. He did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice. And then you have the tragic end of this man. He delivers himself, but he doesn't deliver his people. Always himself. His hair began to grow. And this man certainly has now become a very repentant man. And they bring him into the temple to make sport of him. And the house was full of men and women. We're told in verse 27, now chapter 16. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. This was that temple that was there of Dagon, their god, that beheld while Samson made sport. They just made a fool of him. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson, you know, was brought up there. He was blind where the two pillars that held up the temple were. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down, took him up and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. He judged Israel 20 years, but he failed. He shall begin to deliver Israel. And he went out and he didn't know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Now, there is a comparison between Samson and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be surprised. Listen to it. The birth of both was foretold by an angel. And he was separated to God. He was a Nazarite. And he went in the power of the Spirit of God. It can be said of both, the Lord Jesus and Samson. He was rejected by his people, Samson was, and so was the Lord Jesus. And he destroyed his enemies in his death. But notice there is a contrast, by the way, between them, and that's the thing to note. The prince of this world cometh and findeth nothing in me, the Lord Jesus said. He found plenty in that Samson, didn't he? And his weakness was women. That's destroyed many a man. And now we see that Christ on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Samson says, avenge me. Christ's arms were outstretched in love on the cross, and Samson's arms were outstretched in hatred and revenge against the Philistines. And then, friends, Christ lives today. Samson died. The lesson for you and me is, the Spirit of God will never leave a Christian, it's true, but you can grieve him so you're powerless. And there came a time when the Spirit no longer will strive with men. He said that in the days of Noah, and that could be true in the life of a believer today. But if you're indwelt by the Spirit of God and God's man, may I say how tragic it is to live a life without the power of the Spirit of God. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a tragic end to a life that could have been lived for the glory of God, but instead was wasted on sin. Samson was called to deliver his people, but as Dr. McGee said, Ichabod was written over his life. He never raised an army. He never won a battle. He never rallied the man of Israel behind him. Sex was the ruin of this man. How tragic to live a life without the power of the Spirit of God. And sadly, how many Christians live that same kind of life today. If you want to know how to live in the power of God's Spirit, several of Dr. McGee's booklets point the way. You'll find them free to read or download at ttb.org/booklets. Look especially for Living the Christian Life God's Way, which is based on Romans 8. One of our listeners' favorite ways to go deeper into each study is to study Dr. McGee's commentaries on each book of the Bible. Well, you can pick up his commentary on Joshua and Judges in one paperback volume for just $5 while supplies last. In fact, you can get Dr. McGee's entire set of paperback commentaries, every book of the Bible, for just $5 for each volume. Many listeners over the years have written to say how these commentaries have helped them understand God's Word. To get the resources you need, visit ttb.org/shop or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. If any of Dr. McGee's topical books or his commentaries have been on your wish list, now's the time to get them. And of course, we always love to hear from you and how God is using our studies together to draw you closer to Him. So if you've got a minute, drop us an email at ttb.org and share what God has been teaching you. And we'd also like to invite you to stand with Through the Bible in prayer, praying both for the ministry itself, for wisdom and provision and opportunities, and also for our impact together as we take God's whole word to the whole world. On Monday, we'll wrap up our study in the book of Judges. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat on the Bible bus.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.